How's everybody doing this evening?
Great.
That's good. I hope every day was blessed today and everybody had a good day.
Amen.
Glad to see your faces out and just glad to be able just to come before you again and just preach the gospel to you, because there is going to be a time where you're not going to be able to gather together and be able to hear the word of God. There's going to be a time where you have to do it in hiding. The apostles and disciples before us have to do it, and history only repeats itself.
Amen.
So I'm glad that we have this time. But before we get started, just want to ask the church for forgiveness, because when I come right on the nick of time or a little late. And when I go to work, I'm always on work before time.
Right.
I'm making sure I'm on work on time, so I should be at the house of God on time and before time. So I just asked the church to forgive me for that, because my wife made it here way ahead of time. So it's not my wife, it'd be me. Be dragging around and everything else. So first and foremost, I just want to say forgive me, because if I can work for Caesar, I surely can be here on time to bring the word of God.
Amen.
So that's a big part, because that all shows about your character, and it speaks volumes about that. So as a man, I need to be more diligent and be on time and here ahead of time. So I'm going to work on that. And if y'all see me lacking, just tell me, because as ambassadors and brothers, sisters in Christ, we're supposed to be able to talk to each other and tell each other certain things.
Amen.
Without being afraid of any backlash. And there shouldn't be no backlash, because we all should know what we're supposed to do. And that's where we come and meet so much, so we can do that, because we're a family, right?
Amen.
Okay, so we need to start acting like it and not like distant cousins. So today's title, if I was to choose a title, it would be time. When will it be time to live our lives as true Christians or ambassadors? See, time is collapsing on us. How brief is time? The scripture says in Psalms, once again, that's Psalms 39:5, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is nothing before you. If I live to be 100 years old, people might say I have had a long life, but that is nothing compared to eternity and where I will spend it.
Amen.
See, some people look and say, oh, you had a long, good life. You made it 70. But what are you doing with your life? What are you actually doing on an everyday basis? See, like the title says, time. Basically, in the lesson, we're going to talk about time and what we do with our time in our days. Matter of fact, what do we do on our time when we're even in the house of God? See, the scripture says in Psalms 94, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, when it is past, and like a watch in the night. See, a watch in the night is 3 to 4 hours. But more interesting is that you really don't get a good rest at all. See, when they had a watch at night, they would put guards to watch in case the intruder came, in case somebody came to kill them, in case somebody came to do something to them. And really, you don't get a good night's rest. You tossing and turning and everything else. You up. Well, what are you up doing? Are you up praising God? Are you up doing your own thing? See, one day the Lord, the Bible says in Psalms 102:11-12, once again, that's Psalms 102:11-12. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O God, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. So we have these great leaders. We have Pharaoh, which we read about. We have all these people we talk about. We know Abraham Lincoln and all that stuff. But pretty soon, you're not going to remember who Abraham Lincoln is for the generations to come. They don't even talk about him anymore. You have Martin Luther King. You have a lot of great people that you really don't hear about anymore. But Jesus Christ's name reigns on and reigns supreme. Even when we're dead and gone, people still going to be talking about Jesus Christ. But all these people, they don't even teach about them in school anymore. I know when I was going to school, they really didn't talk about Abraham Lincoln or nothing like that. It started to get phased out. But you hear about Jesus Christ all the time.
That's right.
See, he going to be here when we're gone. He going to be here when our kids is gone. And he going to be here after our kids is gone. His name reigns supreme, and that's what we need to understand. See, time is something that God knows nothing about time. We know about time, but God is just like, that's to y'all. Y'all understand what time is, but God made time. God controls time. Each of us have the same amount of time each day. 1,440 minutes a day, 24 hours in a day, 68 hours in a week, and 365 days, or 366 if it's a leap year. What are we doing? Let's look at Psalms 90:10. Once again, it says Psalms 90:10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reasonable of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. All this time down here fighting, trying to get ahead of the rat race, trying to establish ourselves. For what? What mark are you really going to leave? That's what you got to ask yourself. What are you really going to do? Because all of it's going to be just nothing. Because when it goes before the judgment, you got to answer for everything you did down here. See, I had time really to think about this. 70 years old. Yeah, I'm a long ways away from that. But guess what? It's approaching faster than I know it. When I was in school, I used to be like, man, this is good. It's fun. I enjoyed it and everything. Before you know it, I was paying bills. Time just flies.
Yes, it does.
You really don't understand it. You think, oh, I remember when I was in school. No, I don't remember everything I was in school, everything I did. It's like a vapor. It vanishes away. See, when I did this and I looked at it, the first 15 years of your life is childhood. You're learning. You're growing. You're in school. You're learning from your parents. You're learning from whoever you're around. You're soaking it up like a sponge. The key thing, what are you learning? The key thing, what are you teaching those that are coming now? You got 15 years to mold this child, 15 years to make sure you bring them up the way it word says in Proverbs. That's a long amount of time. But see, you got 20 years of sleeping. That's a lot of time. It's more than that, actually. But 20 years of sleeping. When you're dead, you're going to be asleep for a lot longer than that. But you got 20 years of sleeping. For some of us, in our final years, physical limitations control our activities. Sometimes you ain't going to be able to do what you used to do when you were young. But is that your fault, or is that just something that was brought upon you? See, we say I'm tired. We say I'm so tired physically and spiritually. But Brother Henry said it best. How can you be spiritually tired if you're not doing anything? See, I love my wife because when I'm not here, she's here and she encourages me, but she always brings the good news back to me. Amen. See, regardless, if my helpmate is not doing anything and I'm not doing anything, we're both not going to do anything. See, so that's why I'm glad she's there to encourage me and keep me going. When she's down and out, I'm there to encourage her. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's part of a family. That's part of making heaven our home. No division, no none of that. She came home and said, Brother Henry did an excellent job yesterday. Told me all about it. And I listened. I was like, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for somebody was listening to somebody could share it with me.
Amen.
But see, we keep going on. And the physical part, and see, we say we're physically tired. Oh, if I could use that, I'd be physically tired every day. I work graveyards and I do everything else. And I don't have an easy job. I have a very tough job. But guess what? I don't complain. I come here with smiles, bells and whistles, and everything else on. Because at the end of the day, how can I say I'm physically tired? When I go to work, I'm not tired. I sure ain't tired. I'm up and bushy-tailed and everything else. But when I get to the house, I shouldn't be tired neither. There was one time when I worked. It was Jalen's birthday. I worked Friday, came home, took them out, celebrated his birthday, and came Sunday and preached. Didn't get sleep until Sunday night. Not once missed the beat. But yet we're physically tired. I ain't even reached retirement yet. So I can imagine if I'm tired now, what I'm going to be when I retire. I don't want to be that way. That's why I try to lose weight. That's why I try to do everything else to get myself in physical shape. Because I can dictate my future. See, I used to be, when I used to run and stuff, I'm out of breath. But now, guess what? I'm not out of breath. Because I decided to change some things. I decided to get some things right. Because if I'm mentally right, guess what? I'm spiritually right.
That's it.
See, it runs hand in hand, people. See, God can bless you, but you got to see what condition you're going to be in. I want to be in a good condition. And you can do it because Caleb did it. He danced on the mountaintop. Moses led some people in the desert when he was old. Come on now. I just read a lady in India just had a baby at 60 and her husband 70. So come on now. God is still doing the same thing. Come on now. We just ain't seeing it. We ain't opening our eyes. Look at it. 70 years old, just had their first kid. They've been trying all their life. Barely had their first kid. God is still the same today, tomorrow, yesterday, every day. We done changed. We done changed our perspective of God. We done lost touch with God. God is still doing the same thing because God gives like God takes like. And like I said, that was a blessing they have a child. And guess what? I believe they're going to live to enjoy that child until somebody else can take over. But see, so you only got about 30 years left. Now, part of that time has to be spent eating and part of that time has to be spent working. So how much time do you have left? What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for just a little time and vanishes away, says James 4:14. Once again, that's James 4:14. Just a vapor. It comes like a vapor and it's gone. See, when you see people smoke, you see the smoke come out. Don't even go that high. It's gone. That's what your life is. When you're on a cold day and you see you're breathing in and out, and you see all that smoke coming out, that's your life. You don't even really notice it. You look and you say, oh, it's cold outside. But how many of us really pay attention to that? How many of us really understand that? How many of us really get it? That's what our lifespan is. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:16-17. Once again, that's Ephesians 5:16-17. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is. Quick question, church. Do you really know what the will of the Lord is? Do you really understand what the will of the Lord is? Because I just read scripture in Ephesians. It tells you, do the will of the Lord. But we're so busy wanting to do the will of what we want to do. What's it going to get us in the end? Where is it going to get us in the end? See, it ain't like some of these rich people do. How, when they said the last presidential election, Trump has so much money, he influenced the votes. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't manipulate the votes. You ain't going to have somebody that says, oh, let's cast lots. It's going to be you before God. All your faults, all your iniquities, everything going to be played out like a movie reel. And you already going to know the answer before it's done playing. See, the Bible talks about the prince. Talks about the prince of power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. Once again, that's Ephesians 2:2. Who is the devil? Jesus calls him the prince of this world. Look at James 12:31. Once again, that's James 12:31. The Bible talks about the great forces of evil dominated by Satan that have been unleashed upon the world. Thank God that I have been saved and that someday Satan is going to be bound and will not trouble me anymore. But until that day, our job is to seek and save the lost until judgment. Do you understand what judgment means? That don't mean when, oh, the sky and the horns. That means when you die until death. Because it said after death comes the judgment. See, Satan's going to be bound. Job to seek. Ephesians 5:15-16. Once again, that's Ephesians 5:15-16 says, it is best. Ephesians 5:16 says it best. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, becoming because the days of evil, because the days of evil. That means that we are to buy some time. The word redeem is a business word. We are to redeem. We are to buy the time at any cost to invest in the kingdom of God. Have you ever thought of tithing your time? Every Christian ought to tithe his money, but what about tithing your time? See, when you tithe your time, that's something we hold precious. We hold it dear. Amen. See, money, we could put it in there because we know all the check don't come back anyways. So regardless of what we put in there, the bank account going to be refilled. It's going to come in some way, somehow. But what about giving your time? That's something very important. That's something that you can't get back, because money, you can always make money back. Mm-hmm. I can't go back and say, oh, I'm going to get here at $650. Time, that time is gone. You can't do that. So let's really think about this. Tithing your time is something very important. See, I heard about a man who decided he'd give 10% of his time to the Lord in witnessing. He went door to door in 1 year. More than 20 different families came into the church as a result of the faithful tithing of his time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every professing, true believing ambassador of Christ tithed his or her time and went out witnessing for Christ and helping others? What a change it would make in the world and in our own house.
Amen.
Wow. Just imagine for a year straight, you taking 10% of your time, just like you take 10% of your income, and just going out. This man in a year of time has had 20 families come to the body. 20 families. Now imagine a family being 5, 6, 2, 3, 10, 15, 20. 20 families that came in. Now imagine if the same 20 families did the same thing he did. Within a few years, you're going to have thousands. A few more years, you're going to have millions. A few years, you make the greatest impact you ever could have made. But see, that comes from you as individuals to want to do that. See, I remember a time when, as a young man, I used to go to church. And I know some of y'all probably remember, too, when you were younger. When you would go to church on Sundays, the house was empty. I don't care what you say. Nobody was in the house. Y'all was in the church house. I don't know if y'all recall the time, but I can recall it clearly. There was nothing left in the house. We were all at church praising and worshiping. But see, we have switched the rules around. We let our kids dictate. We let whoever dictate to us what they want to do. But yet we paying the bills in the house. Now, I'm being honest. The kids have became the parents. It's not right. The house is supposed to be cleared. If you stand in my house, like I told my son, if we can't do what I say, let's part ways, brother, because I got to make heaven my home.
Amen.
I can't play this game anymore. I can't wait till I'm going to get older. I don't even know if I'm going to make it out of here tonight.
Amen.
So I have to make some changes. Oh, we buddies and friends. No, I'm the parent. I'm Papa. We could be friends later on down the road, but we got to get some things straight, because like he said, and me and my household have decided. So with that, you got to start questioning yourself. You got to start asking yourself some questions. You got to really start reflecting some things. Now, don't go home and be like throwing everything out, talking about get out and all this stuff. Don't do that. The preacher told me, no, don't do that. I'm saying think about some things. Reevaluate some things. Try to get them to come here. If you can help them out that way, you can help them get in the church house.
That's right.
Change some things. If they don't like it here, change some things up. That's why we got a suggestion box. Make it more interesting. Do some things to make them want to draw them here like you were drawing here. See, time to us is something that we value so precious. Time controls us. And time controls us in what we do, and we become frustrated. We begin to run here and there doing this and that because we say we don't have enough time for everything. Jesus said in John 9:4, once again, John 9:4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man worketh. Think of what Jesus did in 33 years. That's all the time he lived on earth. And we don't know much about his life except the last 3 years. In those 3 years, he healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He taught as no other teacher has ever taught. Within 3 years, Jesus did a lot more than some of us do in a lifetime. 3 years. That's all we really know about when you start thinking about it. 3 years of his life. 3 years of his precious life, because he knew he was going to get crucified. But yet he used his time wisely. He fed, he healed, and he taught. He was at, 12 years old when he was in the temple? Yep. Teaching other people? Yeah. He used his time very wisely. But he honored his mother when she came looking for him. He said, you know who? I'm about my father's business. But he still listened to her. Then he goes off the scene, but then he returns. And he does great miracles. Like I said, we got a promise, 70s by reasonable health. Jesus had 33 years and shook this planet up. Boy, something fierce. What are we doing to leave our mark? See, what I mean by leave our mark, what are we doing to let people see Jesus Christ in us so that Jesus Christ can live on? So when people think about you, they can be like, you know what, that person, I sure did see Jesus Christ in them. Every time they sit back to Jesus Christ, they'll probably remember something you did or how you lived. That's what we need to be thinking about, leaving our mark. See, but that wasn't the real reason he came. He came to die on the cross for Jeremiah Baker. If he came to die for y'all, take it personal, because I take it very personal. Amen. And when I see Jesus on the cross, it begins to bring tears to my eyes because I realize the love of God that was being poured out on the cross. And to see the blood dripping from his hands and his feet and from his head, I know that he didn't have to stay on the cross. The angels of heaven could have came to rescue him, but he said, no, I love them. I love them. I love them. But do we show the same love in return? There are billions and billions of planets and stars. And as far as we know, this is the only planet in rebellion against God. Think about it. We take praying out of schools. On God we trust, we built this country on. But then we rebel back. Think about it. There's planets all over here, stars and everything. We're the only one that one day we for God, the next day we against him. Got to stop flip-flopping. Because if God is still doing the same thing, God can still bring the same destruction. He can snap his fingers like that and wipe it all away and start over. He said, I have the rocks cry out. So we need to take it serious. Serious, serious. Because just like I said, if we go on that field across there, I guarantee we could find more fields, Apple Valley, Barstone, everything combined in this whole high desert just in the field next door to us. So we need to start really valuing our life and our time down here on this side and really start taking it serious. See, God could have swept us all into eternity and destroyed this planet, but he didn't do it. He said, I love them too much. He gave his only son to die on the cross and took our sins. And I want to tell you this. If it cost Jesus Christ his life on that cross for your sins, you can be sure that you'll never get into heaven except by the way of the cross. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. You need salvation. We understand we need water baptism. But without Jesus Christ coming to that cool cross, without him being the Lamb, That's it. We'd have been stuck in a world of hurt. Yeah. So we got to look to the cross. We got to remember the pain he went through. We got to remember the sacrifice he did. We got to really remember this. Look at John 14:6. Once again, that's John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't get to God unless you go through the Son. There are many people who are minimal Christians. You join a church, you have been baptized, and you tithe, but you won't give up that precious time. So I ask you, do you really know Christ? Have you ever had a real experience with Jesus Christ so that he dominates your life and controls your life? You have to surrender to the lordship of Christ. If you are looking for a purpose and meaning in life, give your life to Christ completely. Listen to what I'm about to say. We could use millions of people marching for Christ all over the world right now, talking love instead of hate, telling the world how to get saved, telling them how they can be find forgiveness and newness of life. What I'm saying is Jesus don't need it, we need it. Because when we go into that world, we won't be fighting an uphill battle. We can go and tell the world, you know who I am? I'm a Christian. Without fear of persecution, without fear of anything. Imagine if millions of people were Christians and all was on the same page to make heaven their home. Boy, we can change a lot of stuff. We could change the shooting in schools. We could change the hunger. We could change the homeless. Just imagine what you can really, what if we had millions of people doing this. But all it takes is time people to get there. See, Jesus said in John 17:4, once again, that's John 17:4, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. God has given you something to do too. Are you working on it? Have you finished it? Because some of us act like we have completed it and now it's our time to do what I feel is best for me. But remember, you don't have much time. When Jesus said that, Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus was preparing for death. He was done with his work. Our work don't stop until six people was carrying us out and putting us in some dirt. That's when our work stops. See, like I said, remember, you don't have much time. Your life is a vapor. It is a hand breath away from death. It is grass that grows and withers and it may be over at any time. We never know how long we have to live. That is the reason the Bible says in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet your God. Be ready at all times. Matthew 24:44. Once again, that's Matthew 24:44. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He is coming again, but he is also coming to you in death one of these days. Are you ready? Redeem your time today. You don't have very much of it. The days are evil. Life is very brief. The time is urgent. Don't waste it, because you see, you're going to be held accountable at the judgment. There's going to be a judgment in which every word that you ever spoke, every thought you ever had, every moral choice you ever faced, everything you've done will be accountable at the day of judgment. See, it will even be more for us that say we are saved but live like the unsaved. See, I understand all your sins are washed away when you get in this baptism pool. I understand that clearly. But if you live in the way you got in there, when you get out, something's wrong with that. Something's very wrong with that. And that's why the judgment's going to be more harsh on us that proclaim to be saved. Amen. See, Jesus will say to you, according to Matthew 7:23. Once again, Matthew 7:23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquities. And also in Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So he letting you know where the devil going and his angels. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to go with them. God still said, oh, the devil, oh, his angels going to go to a place that I don't want to have nothing to do with, because it lets me know when Lazarus and the rich man, he was in a place that wasn't even hell yet. And he was crying out. Just give me a little dip of water from your fingertip. Can you imagine just a dip? To dip your finger in some water, if somebody in so much pain, they just want you just to hold it over their mouth and just to drip it. That is some pain right there. That is something that I can't even imagine, because usually I'd be like, I need a bottle of water or something. He just said, dip it. Just dip it. Just dip it. And then he went in far and said, you know what? If you can't do that for me, let it go to my brothers. Let me go tell them. He said, why should I? They ain't gonna change. They stuck in their way. Like they said, Leslie McDonald's lie where they lie. They ain't gonna change. They ain't gonna do nothing different. They gonna do the same old. So why should I let you go appear before them and waste my time when I know their hearts ain't in the right place? So we got to start thinking, church. Let's get our hearts in the right place. Time is a wasting. See, he says, but let's keep on going. It says, and you'll argue a little bit and try to blame everyone just like Adam. Adam did in the garden. You'll say, but Lord, I did this, I did that, Lord. I was busy doing a lot of things. Now let's look back at Matthew 7, 21, 24. Once again, Matthew 7, 21 and 22. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. But you see, you didn't do the most important thing, to live your life as a saved ambassador for Jesus Christ.
That's all right.
See, you can do all these great things. You can go before God with all these great excuses. But guess what? Time calls for immediate action. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day to change your life and live for Jesus Christ. Every time your clock tick, it says, now is a time to live like your last day. Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. See, the Israelites wandered for 40 years, lost. Will you do the same thing? You can hear the gospel and do nothing about it, or you can change the choice. The choice is yours. You can harden your hearts, and after a while, you will not hear the Holy Spirit voice any longer because your heart is hard. And without the conviction power of the Holy Spirit, you will be just like the Israelites walking the face of the earth lost. I'm asking you to receive Christ now. And for most of us, I don't mean to get saved, but for those that are not saved, get saved. If you hear a whispering telling you to get up, get right in the sight of God, do it today. Because his followers and because his followers and he becomes Lord of every phase of your life. Lord of your business, Lord of your family, Lord of your life, Lord of your relationship, Lord of everything. That is what it means to surrender to Christ. You must be willing for the whole world to know that you are putting Christ first in everything that you do from now on. Regardless what we do in life, we must understand what time is. We must understand what it is to be saved. We must understand it is to get ourselves right. We can joke around. We can do all this stuff. But remember, we as Christians are going to be held accountable for everything we do. We need to change our mindset. We need to change what we do. And we need to take time more precious. Like I said, we got all that time in a day that we could be doing something. We could be studying the word. We can get more understanding. But that's up to you. The ball's in your court. I thank you for your time, and I pray I've said something that stays on your heart.